Your article is about 49-year-old Denise Jeannot. She's Mandan Hidatsa Blackfeet candidate for Congress from Montana. The article is called Not Politics as Usual. Why the title?
So Denise Jeannot would be the first Native American woman in U.S. Congress. She is also the first Native American woman in the country elected to a statewide position. And she's also the first openly gay candidate for federal office in Montana. So she's breaking all kinds of barriers.
Jeannot appears right at home running for Congress. You write that she's steeped in political activism due to her parents. Her mother served in the Montana legislature. Jeannot's a Harvard grad. She went to law school and in 2006 became director of Indian education in Montana. Talk about the changes she made in Montana tribal education.
So a couple of her big initiatives as head of Indian education and then later superintendent in Montana, graduation matters was one of her big initiatives to raise the graduation rates in the state. She likes to cite that from 2009 to now, the graduation rate has increased from 80% to 86%. As head of Indian education, she was in charge of a federal grant for a program called Schools of Promise. And that was to fund improvements for the lowest performing schools in the state. And those happened to be on Indian reservations. So that was in 2012. There's one more initiative that I really should mention, which is Indian Education for All. This was a program to incorporate Native American perspectives into textbooks and education statewide in Montana. So she went around to all of the different tribes and sort of worked with them and allowed them to decide how their history should be explained in textbooks for everyone in Montana. And that is a big reason why Montana is now seen as a model for how to incorporate the Indian perspective in education.
Equally compelling is how she did not back down in the face of criticism while developing that particular program. It seems to me that this is an important value for her, not backing down. Can you talk about that?
When she was working to implement Indian education for all, there were critics who said, why aren't we having French education for all? Or why aren't we highlighting the Norwegian history? And those were types of comments that she sort of just had to plow through because, of course, it was the Indian perspective in Montana that had sort of been forgotten. And she just sort of kept her eye on the prize and plowed through them. And it's really interesting to see her speak about these things. She's the kind of candidate who doesn't get rankled. And she just sort of explains these things dispassionately to continue towards the goal that she has in mind.
Tay Wiles, can you talk more about Denise Jeannot's character?
I did some research and I spoke with her and I spoke with a number of people who knew Denise growing up and know her now and have worked with her in various capacities. And it's interesting to look at her personal history and to see how that's coming out in her campaign now. There's this very deep family history of standing up for what they believe in and sort of plowing through racism and other systemic barriers to political empowerment. I mean, her mother tells this story of growing up on the Fort Berthold Reservation in North Dakota. And when the Garrison Dam was built in the late 40s, early 50s, it flooded their entire community and they had to leave. And her mother remembers this as a young girl. And her mother's father, Denise Jeannot's grandfather, fought against it and was very active. And then Denise's parents were very active in social justice actions in Billings in the 1970s. Her mother was part of the movement to create tribal colleges in the 1970s, which prior to that didn't really exist. So there's this deep family history of just working hard towards what they believe in and sort of not really paying a lot of mind to forces trying to bring them down.
Denise Jeannot's platform seems progressive in non-Native terms. She opposes transferring public lands to state control. She supports permanent protection of the land and waterfront. She seems to be all about integration on a political level. But what about the traditional Native American contingent that is less concerned about political integration with non-Natives, those who, like her, saw Western expansionism as an Eastern invasion? I mean, how popular is she in Indian country?
Everyone I spoke to described her candidacy and described her as sort of a celebrity in Indian country in Montana. Kids talk about her in schools. Her face is very recognizable. People know who she is. She's traveled a lot in the Indian country in Montana. I really got the sense that people feel like they know her and therefore can trust her more.
You know, it sounds like she straddles both cultures. She has one foot right. in non-Native culture and one foot in Native culture.
I think that's true. I mean, I think as the superintendent, she has seen her job as representing all students, Native and non-Native, in Montana. And I think people have come to see her as that. And that's one of the interesting things about her as a candidate is that she's sort of broken the barrier of being a quote-unquote Native American candidate and is just what some people see as a great candidate. But she also has deep roots in traditional Native American cultures, and she understands that culture. And I think that straddling that divide is something that gives strength to her candidacy.
I guess one of the challenges to her winning is that Native American voter turnout is pretty low. What do you think are her odds of winning the election?
I think it's a little bit of a long shot still. This seat normally goes Republican, so I think she has her work cut out for her, but it's by no means out of the question that she could win this race.
Well, Tay Wiles, thanks very much for talking with me today.
Thanks for having me.